All right. Well, as Corey and Tal have both said, it's chilly. But I'm going on holiday for 2 weeks, for 6 weeks, to a sunny place. So I'll take this any day. Yeah. It's always a privilege to be here, regardless of whether you're that side, this side, singing. Being in the house of God and fellowshipping together is such a privilege. And it's really refreshing, too. It's refreshing because of the cold, but it's also refreshing for your spirit. To be together with like-minded people, to grow together, to be challenged. It's not just coming to church and a stationary thing, and it's just what you do and it's habit. It is all those things, but it is more than that too. It's about being together and experiencing life, the spirit-led life, and watching my soul and spirit mature and grow in the Word, and sharing that with other people and experiencing it together, and watching other people in our congregation and our community grow in their spiritual self as well. So today is a little bit different for me. It's a bit of a testimony and a challenge and a whole bunch of things. So buckle up, people. Short and sweet, it's 11:03, we will be done by 12, famous last words, but. So, God wants us to succeed. He wants me to succeed, He wants you to succeed, it's in His plan. If He didn't, like, we would have been kicked out of the Garden of Eden and that would have been the end of the story. That's it, you know? Nothing would have happened after that. But God wants us to succeed. This world that we live in wouldn't have existed if it weren't for the fact that God is for us. It would be very different, and we can speculate all you want. I have no idea what it would have been like if God wasn't for us. Probably none of us would have been here, you know, creation would have been perfect, and it would have just stayed at that. But God wants us to succeed. So turn with me to Revelation 22, verse 1, please. So we're going to be jumping around a little bit here. So if you've got your electronic Bibles or your hard copies, we're going to be all over the place today. So, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now the Bible often talks about the water of life. It talks about living water, river of life, water of life. And it got me wondering, what is this imagery that's being portrayed here? What is it about the water of life? And it got me thinking about, what is water? Well, water is what you see, right? It has a couple of different forms. You got steam, snow, ice, liquid water. But it's always talking about a river or flowing, or it has connotations within the biblical context of, it's not stationary. The water of life was moving. It was deep. So when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, well, you've got, let's take a body of water, a river. You've got what you can see on the surface. You can see it's moving. You can see it's flowing. But what is happening in the water, right? How deep is it? What is going on there? It's moving. It's alive. It's going from point A to point B. It's never the same in this one spot. When it's talking about a river, and that river is constantly changing, it just keeps going. And yeah, so turn with me. We're going to run through a few scriptures here, talking about the water of life. And just in your head, vision or imagine or create that picture of the water. See it as deep and moving and big and alive. It's not just a still, dead little puddle, pothole. It is moving. So, Jeremiah 2, verse 13 is our next verse there. I'm going to read from there because that's quicker than me trying to find it in my Bible every time. So, My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. They have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So here we have a different analogy. All right. We tried to create our own water, and it was very different to what God's water is. There's a big difference between a spring and a cistern. A spring is naturally filled. It just continuously flows water. A cistern is something that you got to put water into. All right. And cisterns were a big part of Northern Albertan life that many of you, I grew up with a well, so I know what a cistern is, but many of you grew up with cisterns, and if your cistern cracked, that sucked, right? And that's a great analogy there, because here you have a spring, it's fresh, it's flowing, it's not going to run out, it continually renews itself, compared to a cistern, a cracked one at that, that cannot hold that water. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord. The spring of living water. Okay, so the last bit there is the important bit. We have forsaken the spring of living water. So again, we have this analogy of a spring. This moving, being, never-ending fountain of water that just keeps coming out. Zechariah 14, verse 8. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it east to the Dead Sea and half of it west to the Mediterranean Sea in the summer and the winter. So there again, we have this analogy of living water flowing out of Jerusalem. All right. Imagine in your head, as we work through this, that big river. There, it's going both east and west. You know, it was covering the nation. And it flowed summer and winter, so it never stopped. It was year-round, perpetual, flowing water. John 4, verses 10 and 11. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" So there again we have this analogy of living water and a well. This water that is freely accessible, that flows by itself like a spring, being compared to a well. A storage, an inaccessible storage at that in this example. The last couple of verses here, John 7, verses 38. "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Right? So we're not a cistern. We are not meant to keep that water to ourselves. The living water of God flows from us. And if we're comparing that to all those scriptures now, talking about a spring, you can't hold that water. You will never have a big enough container for the living water of Christ. It should overflow your life. It should be pouring out of you. It should be going from you, east, west, all year round. It should be this continuous upspringing of living water coming out of you. That was John 7. The last one is Revelation 7, verse 17 there. "For the Lamb at the center of their throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So whenever the Bible is talking about living water, it never refers to a well. It never refers to a holder, a container. It's always referring to this living, flowing, never-ending source of living water. So keep that analogy in the back of your heads as we work through the rest of what I have here. I want you to tie that analogy of a river, never ending, with what it says in Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and active." All right? That there, the word of God. We have the living water. and the Word of God. And both of them are not dead stationary things. This is the Word of God. It is living and active. It speaks to you. It ministers to you. It changes, as we've seen in our life verses. What it means to me is different what it means to Barry. The same verse. And that verse changes for what it means to me over the course of my life. You know, when I first became a Christian, John 3:16, that was my verse. You know, but because pretty much that's the only one I remember learning at Sunday school, and it's the one that I remembered. But as we grow and as we mature and as we move through that spiritual river, different things have different meanings. And we get a deeper understanding. It gets bigger. It just like a river, we start in the spring. And as we move through the course and the life of the river, so to speak, it continually grows. It gets added to. It gets deeper. There are more things in it. When you look at it on the surface, it's very similar. But as you dive into it, that river is growing. It is becoming a torrent. It is becoming a delta that is full of life. It is full of immeasurable and innumerable things. So both the river of life and the Word of God is alive and active. Have you met this person? Have you met the person of Jesus? Not the one you learned about in Sunday school. Not the one you sing about. Have you met this river of life, this living, moving, being, challenging person of Jesus Christ? Is your spirit sleeping? And now I say these things because I know for me, for a long period of time, I was a Christian, but I was a cistern. I would just take what was given to me, and that would be the source, right, of filling up my well. Are you asleep? Are you just moving on autopilot? Or are you actually connected to the spring of living water? Because nobody can fill your cup. Nobody can fill your cistern apart from Jesus Christ. And knowing Him and the living Word being in the river of life is what will make you a Christian. There is a difference between being religious and holy. And that difference is the difference between being a cistern and a spring of living water. Terrell mentioned in Bible study this week, what is holy? What's the definition of holy? And that's to be set aside for God / by God. And it can be both of those things. It's set aside by God, for God. And it's set aside for God, by God. Being religious is a dead thing. Jesus came so that it died. It's not a bad thing, but to be spirit-filled and be alive is the challenge that Jesus came. It's the challenge that He left with us because He said, here I am, live your life as I did. Right? Jesus isn't a dead person. Right? He is alive. He is living, breathing. So I had an encounter way back when I was still in Zimbabwe. We lived on a small farm. My dad used to a Christian campsite there. And so we had a whole bunch of chalets and meeting centers. We had a street kid rehabilitation program on the one side. But it was in these big valleys. According to the Rockies, it's flat. But according to Zimbabwe, it was big. You know, it's a bit like Alberta. You drive down the Peace River, that's huge, right? We were in the head of the valley. The valley kind of opened up. The farm was in the middle of the valley. Two ranges of mountains on either side, and it opened out into a big plain. You could kind of look southeast, southwest, and it was just gorgeous. But the farm was at the bottom. We had this little mountain. It was a mountain called Rocky Top. And I can't remember why, but anyway, one day off school, I had gone up there. We just played, right? You grew up on a farm. You went out and about, and there's a lovely view from the top. And I remember experiencing something there that it changed my outlook on life a little bit. So I could see God's love running like rivers in the sky. It's like to explain it would be a bit like the Northern Lights. It would just be these ever-changing pathways, but it looked like rivers of love. That's how I could see it. I could see ones for my friends, and I knew this because I could identify them, right? It's not like they were named or anything, but I knew in my spirit that, like, that is for this person. That is for this person. But at the same time, I was aware of every other river of life for everybody. The whole sky was just filled with them. They never ended. They just kept flowing. They were going in all different directions. But I could see them. I feel God's presence there. And the rivers were flowing out of this little lookout. They were like going this way, that way, this way, that way. It was like God was showing me in a way how much he loved everybody. And it never stopped. It wasn't like, oh, I love you. Okay, I'm done with you. I love you. Okay, I'm done with you. No, it was like, I love you and I love you. And it just carried. And it never ended, never diminished. More people were born. It just continually added. It never, ever got any less. And so it wasn't a stationary thing. It was moving and active. Advent picture imagery stayed with me for a long time. The other thing is, it wasn't just going out. It was returning. So the majority of it was, I love you, I love you, I love you. It was one way, but there was stuff flowing back. And I remember at the time being like, well, I don't know, this is a cool picture, right? Like, I grew in my faith. I've come to understand what that meant to me. And now it doesn't mean the same thing to you. It's not that personal encounter that you've had. This is just my vision and picture that I had. But God's word is active and alive. It's a person. It's a moving thing. It's not stationary. If you think that God's word is just this, you are so wrong. And I say that both a revelation to you and the same time as an admonishment. Like, if you think that this, just the words, are exactly what it is, I am sorry for you, but it is so much more than that. So much more than that. So, turn to Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from far. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I sail far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will be not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before any of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand when I wrestle with you. If only, God, you would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That scripture, take the image of that river, apply it to that scripture. It moves, it knows you, it grows with you, it's deep. Challenges like waterfall and things like that, it's all there. But that last verse, if you wouldn't mind just putting up the last verse again, please, Sharman. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. A river will always find a way around something, right? It removes the offensive boulder that's blocking its path. It will either push it aside, it will make a new channel, it will literally move it all the way down the river. God wants us to succeed. He wants us to be a river that's not dammed up. He wants us to flow, to move. He wants to grow in volume, to grow in depth. And the only way to do that is to treat this as alive, to treat this as more than just a source that I can put into my life and top whenever I feel like I'm empty. It should be perpetually, continuously overflowing out of lives. People should be able to look at us and see they're never empty, right? And it's hard to quantify. How do you feel empty? But there's a joy, there's a security, there's a sense of fullness. There is whole things that are immeasurable, things that, like Psalm 109 talks about, I don't know, I can't explain them, I don't understand them, right? But they are there and they are perpetually, continually flowing up within us as we dwell in that river of life, as we dwell in that moving, living person of Jesus Christ and the water of life. So me and you, we need to cultivate that presence of God in and around us. In my life, in my family, in my community, my identity. I need to keep that river from being stopped. It shouldn't be building dams, trying to hold it back. There's more than enough for it to perpetually fill me up. Right? Going back to that picture, I was like, well, how do you keep this? And the point of it was that you don't have to. It continues coming. It continues flowing. When we're trying to hold on to stuff and being like, God, I just don't have enough. There's so much more out there that is for us. Just thinking of ourselves as cisterns. We got to think of ourselves as a spring of life. We're connected to God and we are dwelling in that river of life. It's, you know, we're literally too small for the river of life that God has. You know, it'll be like hyper showers. That's what it should look like. You know, just a little dribble. It should just be like huge volumes of water. So, I'm going to leave you with a challenge here. And what does it matter in this world? Right? What is it that matters to you? Is it your identity? Is it the legacy that you're building? Is it your business, your family, your kids, your reputation? There is only one thing that should matter, and that should be the person of Jesus Christ. That living, alive person of Jesus Christ. Now, me as Murray, born in Zimbabwe, live in Canada, I'm gone with wind. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 24. Gives us quite a good analogy of that. Now that you have purified yourselves by being the truth, so just since you love each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born in a perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Like, even though it's out there, like, I have eternal life, you know, I've got all these things. It ends with, like grass and flowers, we all wither, we all fade away. Psalm 150 verses 15 to 17 there has a very similar picture. The life of mortal is lost. They flourish, they flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place, remember it no more. Right? What matters to you here on this earth? Because when you die as the person, as this physical being, right? 100 years from now, I don't know what anything's going to be like. If you, 100 years ago, I'm pretty sure there was a dandelion. Maybe not a dandelion. Maybe a rose, like right here underneath the building. This place remembers that no more. It's gone. There's no memory of it. Back to Peter 1, verse 22. It talks about the imperishable seed. That is of not me. It's not who I am. It's not anything of me. That seed is of God. I didn't choose God. God chose me and found that seed in me. John 15, verse 16 is the last scripture for today. And before we read, go back to that picture of a cistern, a cracked cistern, and a spring, a big flowing, pulsing of water. John 15, verse 16. Yes, sorry. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. I chose God, but God wanted me to say, I chose him. You know, Psalm 139, talk about the book. You know, he knew my ways. Every word I've said today, God knew what I was going to talk about today. You know, I don't understand that. I'm like, what? You know, like, hallelujah. God knew I was going to say that. It's like, okay, that's keep aside for a later date as I grow in my spiritual river of, you know, in the end of maturity. But God knew me. He planted that seed in me. Who was that as a Mormon boy, you know, ended up in one of the coldest places on earth, you know? Like, how? God wants us to succeed. This is his plan for you. This is where he wants you. Are you a cistern that's continually having to be refilled? Bring yourself out to all you can do, the living, breathing word, the person of Jesus Christ, the spring of living water. The seed isn't of me. I didn't choose God. God chose me. Be unto me according to your will. Now, Margie Scorinzi ended off her sermon with that. And be to me according to your will. Going back to, like, the very beginning of this, everything the river does is of the river's will. We try to block it, it'll flap until it overflows, right? It's not like a dam on a little, the naughty cue that dropped and dammed. That the living water never ends. It has a will of its own. It is God's will. And be unto me according to your will. And so I want to leave you with that. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Talk about your identity, your reputation, your legacy. It's not talking about how the things you have. It's not talking about what you've done with your life. It's talking about, are you in that living, the river of living water? Is your spirit immersed deep within that resource that will move you and grow you and flow with you as you move through life? Deeper roots and sweeter days. Make sure that that river is an cistern that is cracked and you are having to refill it. Make sure that you're connected to the source. This is alive. It moves with you. It grows with you. If we are not perpetually challenged by it, by new understanding, new revelation, look at your cistern. Make sure that you put it into a cistern. As far as we wonder whether we're standing on the banks, is my spirit asleep? Am I just watching the river flow by? Or am I immersed in it, Lord? Am I moving with it? Am I surrounded by it? Am I experiencing the growth and the depth and power and the change that it brings? Lord, speak to each of us. Help us to find that connection with you, to know the alive person Jesus Christ. Not just the pictures, the things that we have been taught, but to actually move from being at the bank of the river and looking at the surface to being immersed in your river of life, Father. And as we go out from here, Lord, I pray that the springs would be restored within those of us who need it, who have found ourselves like a cistern to be broken at your feet, empty, Father, that we would reconnect with that source, that we would be bare of fruit that is lasting, that we would realize that it's not the things of this world that will stay made, Father, it's the things of you that will go with us, that will sustain us, Father. Amen. And so, if you would like prayer for that, if you feel like you're disconnected from the well, sorry, if you are well and disconnected from the spring, feel free to come forward. We'll have Quinn and myself here, and if you feel like you've got that river, go out there, share it. You know, don't hold it back for yourself. It's not for us. John 15:16 says, go and bear fruit. Be that river. Spread it out there. There's rivers across the sky. So, be blessed, be challenged. We'll see you again next time. Quest for a message.